a good move. Why don't you dance him?
Dancing is forbidden. Dancing is forbidden. Dancing is forbidden.
Yoo-hoo, running crew! Today is the day we are wrapping up our coverage of the 2007 Aqua Teen film. So, of course, in our previous episode, we finished up the actual plot, both the deleted film and the official film, but we do have 10, you heard me right, 10 fake endings to discuss quickly today. They're all pretty short. They're only 30 seconds to a minute long, so don't worry, it's not going to be super grueling. I was debating if I wanted to go through all these or not, but they're so simple to explain, we may as well talk about them. So we've got these 10 fake endings to talk about, and then I will give you my thoughts on this film as a whole. So, back to our fake endings here. It's alright if you haven't seen them. I didn't see any of them until working on this, and again, there's not much to set up for them. Pretty simple. I think we're going to have a good time today going through them. So, some background on these fake endings. There were three, I believe, that were released before the film came out. One was put on YouTube, one was put on the fan site AquaTeenCentral.com, and the last one was put on the KingColin.com website for the film. Basically, there was a game on there, and if you beat the game, then you got to see what was, you know, supposed to be the ending to the film. Now, at the time, it wasn't really revealed that these were fake endings. They just, you know, as a prank on the fans, essentially, purposely released these three fake endings that aren't real to the actual film. And then people would see that and think, oh, wow, this movie looks crazy based on this ending. And then they'd see another ending that would be totally different. Just very silly and very fun. And before we get into them, and I'm not going to get too much into this, but I think it's hilarious that they made 10 fake endings for a film that ultimately ended up not really having an ending at all. And again, we'll get more into that. But, you know, as I said in the part 8 coverage, it just kind of stops. That's like, you know, stuff's kind of happening. It's revealed that the Three Bean Burrito is the creator of the Aqua Teens. And then it's over. The Let's All Go to the Lobby characters come back on screen singing their song, and the film is done. So that's really surprising that they actually had some endings here. And of course, I will reiterate in that 8th coverage, I did talk about the deleted film ending, which I liked a lot more. That was an actual ending where Meatwad, the whole film was just the product of Meatwad's imagination. He was playing with toys, and that's why the film made no sense and the plot was all over the place and stuff, because it was Meatwad telling the story. But they cut that out. The official film was basically just, oh, it's over now. The film's done. But we do have these 10 fake endings to go through. So let's jump into our first one. And you know what? Before we jump into that first one, I need to tell you that you can see these on YouTube. I'll put a link in the show notes here. And also, if you have the DVD with the special features, it is on that second disc with the deleted film. So, okay, our first one here, it's called Dr. Zod. And the setup of this one is we are in Dr. Weird's apartment, I guess, you know, kind of where what his lab is supposed to be in the film. And we see Linda, who was Carl's girlfriend. Remember, she was the ripped woman who turned out to be Dr. Weird. But we see her standing there in the apartment, and then she is holding Meatwad, and Shake is talking to Meatwad. The only other visual thing here is towards the end of the clip, Meatwad will pull out a pistol, and then you'll hear a dramatic sting. So let's give it a listen.
Because I'm a robot built by the evil Dr. Zod, I was programmed not to feel emotion.
But you barely know her, and you're marrying this woman already. How can you?
I'm in love. Finally, I am in love. I never knew what it felt like until I met her. And now I got to kill her.
So dramatic sting, and it just cuts to Shake's face. He's like shocked, and that's it. So already you kind of know, if you've never seen these fake endings, now you kind of know what we're dealing with. They're kind of like mini episodes in themselves because they have nothing to do with the film. And this one actually has more to do with the film than most of them do, because at least Linda's in it. We are at least in Dr. Weird's condo or whatever, his loft, which some of them are just them at the house or whatever. But yes, that's this one here. And of course, remember, like, we know who Linda is, so it's funny to see this. It's funny that she's just holding Meatwad. But if you haven't seen the film, and this is the first thing you're seeing, you're just like, what the fuck is this? Like, what? This looks insane. And I don't know if they're supposed to be spoofing something here. Later on, some of them are clear spoofs, but, you know, this is just my ignorance, not having seen a ton of movies. like Dr. Zod. I don't know what that is a reference to, but in the episode Why Try, which is season 8, episode 7, which comes out years after the film, there is a character called Zod in that episode, but I don't think that there's a relation between the mentioned Dr. Zod here and that character that comes up later named Zod. But back to this being like a fake ending, how did people see it? Well, let me tell you, this was the ending that you would see if you went to king:/.com, which was the film's website. If you went to the website and played a game called Go Right, which was later renamed Worst Game Ever. And if you want to know how to play it, well, just listen to the name, man. You just go right, and that's basically it. So you hold right on your keyboard. You are Master Shake and Meatwad. They're just walking together, which already is unrealistic. You play as them, and you just go right. And I know there's a hole you jump over, and there's also a brownie monster that you kill just by pressing X. And that's it. You're just pressing right. And I kid you not, I think it's about an hour. You have to walk right for an hour, literally in real time. And then eventually you come across the Aqua Teen's TV, you go up to it, and then it shows you that clip. The game is not live anymore, although there are videos of people playing it on YouTube. But on the Volume 5 DVD, it was put on there. It's fully playable, although I believe you have to use like your remote because, you know, this was for DVD players. But you can play it on there if you really want to. And it might be archived somewhere else, but it's not on king:/.com anymore. But yeah, this is such a troll, such an Aqua Teen move that you're just pressing right. And then occasionally it would come in with, this is your right, like from the song used in season 2. That would come in from time to time and you're just walking and that's it. So just kind of a middle finger to anyone playing it. But you do get a reward. You do get to see, at the time, an unreleased clip, which is pretty cool. So moving on to our next one. This clip is called Blood Mountain, and basically we just get a slow montage of images from existing episodes, or backgrounds rather, and then we see Shake, he's typing on a computer with reading glasses on. So if you've seen that picture, I believe this is where that comes from. I couldn't find any instance of this image of Shake sitting at the computer kind of smiling with glasses on typing away. I couldn't find that anywhere else. It's possible it's in another episode I hadn't seen yet, or that I can't recall, but I think this is where it originates from. So you have Shake typing because he's kind of narrating over the images before that. And then we just kind of pan out and we see their house from the film, the house in its destroyed state. So it's kind of funny. This makes, again, remember, nobody's seen the film at this point that this comes out. So it just leaves a lot of questions. So let's give this one a listen.
Gordo, BJ, Doogie, and Blimp all lost their virginity that summer together. During that one magical night at the old swimming hole. The Swamp Thing filmed it with his new infrared photosynthetic camera. As long as I live, I'll never forget seeing him devour them. And the screams. Oh, the screams. After high school, I never returned to Blood Mountain, but I carry it with me in my heart. Always.
All right, so now we just get this, you know, dramatic music playing while it pans out from the Aqua Teen's house, which is absolutely destroyed because in the film, the Insanoflex busted out of it. But again, people don't know that, so this makes no sense. I mean, obviously, it does make no sense, even if you have seen the film. But this, obviously, a spoof on the film Stand By Me, which is based off of a Stephen King novella called The Body. And that film, most of it's about these kids, and then it ends with one of the characters now grown up writing his memoir at his computer in a similar way to this. There's some similar names that Shake says, but you know, this is insane. It's like, oh, they all lost their virginity and it was filmed by the swamp monster or whatever he says. Just total nonsense, but just really funny. And I can only imagine what I would think if I saw, oh, the ending was leaked. And then I saw this, I'd just be like, what the heck? But as I mentioned, there are backgrounds before we see Shake at his computer. And first we see the forest from PDA when the Aqua Teens are looking for Shake's PDA in the Adirondacks. That background is what they show first. Then it goes to the campsite in Interfection when, you know, the wizard basically infests the Aqua Teens' house with pop-ups or whatever. So they have to go out and live in the woods. That's the background we see there. There's like a little fire pit with a squirrel or something on it. And then we see the cliffside from Dumber Dolls, where Happy Time Harry was thrown off the cliff. We see that. And then we see Shake. So that's what's going on with the backgrounds. Visually, super simple, But really cool that we get that image of Shake at the computer typing, because I've seen that at least all over the internet. And again, I think it comes from this short. And you may be wondering where somebody would see this fake ending. And this one, I believe, was on YouTube, because I know this is one of the ones that was released. And I know of the three that I know were released, the other two were not on YouTube. So I think this one came out on YouTube. If it was the official Adult Swim YouTube or not, I don't know. It's not on their channel anymore, so I can't get too specific. But this one, I think you could see on YouTube back in the day. And now on to what I think is the last fake ending that was shown ahead of time before the film came out, and outside of the context of it being a fake ending, so, you know, people might think that this was real, is called Wonder Man. And this one, visually, we have the three Aqua Teens outside of their destroyed house, and they're kind of waving and looking up at the sky. We will pan up where we will see what kind of looks like a plane really far away and a long vapor trail, and that is supposed to be Wonder Man. And then we will also get some narration by George Lowe, so let's give all that a listen.
The planet's saved! Thank you, Wonder Man!
Goodbye, Wonder Man!
Goodbye, Wonder Man!
See ya!
So long!
I wonder if we'll ever see him again.
But Wonder Man would never return to Earth, because he was arrested for molesting a child in another galaxy.
So Wonder Man, you know, it's made to believe that he saves the film, basically. Because again, if you haven't seen the movie, you might expect this actually to be the ending. And it's like, well, he was never seen again because he was caught molesting a child in another galaxy. So that's Wonder Man's fate. And again, we had George Lowe on narration there, and that is kind of similar to the episode Rabot, because in a storyboard early on for the episode, Space Ghost was supposed to show up, of course, voiced by George Lowe, and defeat the Rabot. So I don't know if this was actually a callback to that or not, but there's definitely a similarity there. And on to how you would see this one. This one was revealed on the Aqua Teen fan site, AquaTeenCentral.com. And the guy behind that website, John Galbo, we talked about him on the main feed like a couple episodes ago, if you're listening to this in real time. John is still kicking around in the community, so I reached out to him and asked him, like, how did you get this? And specifically, I had to ask him which one he had, because I knew Aqua Teen Central had one of these fake endings, but none of this was listed anywhere. So I'm kind of having to dig all this up and tell you, because it wasn't documented anywhere. And John let me know that they had the Wonder Man one. And basically, Ned Hastings reached out to him, editor on Aqua Teen, of course, and reached out to John and offered it for the site. And it was basically spoofed to be like it was ripped from a VHS, because on John's Facebook, this ending was uploaded like how it was given to them, really. And it looks like a fake VHS. And also there is like a bump at the beginning kind of saying that, oh, this was found or whatever. So that's kind of how they portrayed it back in the day. So thanks to John for filling me in on that. Again, I might have buried this lead, but me telling you which website or where these clips were found, I'm digging all that up for this podcast, because again, it wasn't documented. So those three, I think, are the only ones that were actually portrayed as being somewhat real. Now, the rest of them we're going to get into, they were shown on Adult Swim before the film came out. But I think at that point, because they showed you all of them, it was pretty clear that they weren't real. So there was no potential confusion like, oh, this is the actual ending. So moving on to our next ones, we are going to jump into one called Sandwich. And before this one was shown on Adult Swim, we got some bumps. And luckily, somebody uploaded these to YouTube. I don't know if they were in this exact order or what, but I'm going to read you just what I can see on the YouTube video from 2007. And it seems to make sense to me. But so we have a bump before the Sandwich one. And it says, various endings of the movie have been leaked. Those were fakes. We did it to create internet buzz. Here's the real ending. So to describe the visuals really quickly, we have Meatwad and Shake sitting at their kitchen table in the living room, and Shake is giving Meatwad a grilled cheese sandwich, and then on Shake's side, he has steak and eggs, I assume the same steak and eggs from Super Sirloin. He has a cup of, I assume, orange juice. We see some syrup on the table, although it doesn't make sense because I don't really see anything that they would use syrup with. There's also a coffee mug, and then what I assume are like rolls or something, or biscuits or something along those lines. There's some sort of basket with a napkin over it that we can't see the contents of. So that's what's going on here. Again, I don't believe this, because Shake and Meatwad would not be hanging out like this. Shake would not allow it. But let's listen in on Sandwich.
The sandwiches are made, and now we can have lunch.
God bless us, everyone.
So that's it. That sandwich, that's what they would make you believe the ending to the film was, that it just ends with them having breakfast. Again, I don't know if this is a spoof of a specific film. So if you know, please let me know. You can comment right on Patreon and let me know. I'd love to know what these references are, if they are references at all. They could just be, you know, stupid bullshit like this one. But that's all there really is about Sandwich, or that's all there is to say about it. Obviously, super quick, super funny, super cheesy. No pun intended. You know, I love me a grilled cheese sandwich, and the one that Shake Hands to Meatwad looks pretty good. Although I like how he says the sandwiches are made, like we can eat or whatever. But then we see Shake has steak and eggs. So, you know, it's really nice of him to make Meatwad this grilled cheese. So I'm not really going to bash Shake on this. But it is funny that Meatwad gets a grilled cheese and then Shake gets steak and eggs, which is like a way better meal, I think. But I mean, hey, I'm not going to be mad about a grilled cheese. It's better than nothing. Next up, we have a very similar one. It's called Sandwich Jewels. And it starts out exactly the same as Sandwich, but then it takes a little twist at the end because Meatwad says that he's allergic to bologna, and then Shake's going to pull out a knife up to Meatwad and say, give me the jewels. So the setup is exactly the same to the previous clip. There's just a little bit more tacked on to the end. Let's check it out.
The sandwiches are made, and now we can have lunch.
God bless us, everyone. I'm allergic to bologna. You were planning this all along.
Give me those jewels!
No, please!
So that's it. You know, even more nonsensical. If I could estimate here and guess, you know, based on when I talked to Jay Edwards, he said, of course, this isn't a one-to-one. Like, you can't always pin it down this way. But Dave is a little bit more of the storyteller on the show. And then Matt is more of like the chaotic absurdist guy. To me, it seems like the first cut of Sandwich is the Dave version, and this is the Matt version. It's just totally nonsensical. Of course, that could be completely wrong. That could be completely backwards, but that's just the way that I see it off the bat here. And, you know, it looks like a grilled cheese sandwich. So he's like, oh, I'm allergic to bologna. You could put bologna in a grilled cheese. I don't really know why you'd want to. I can't imagine that would taste too good, but maybe it does. I don't know. But yeah, that is that one there. Not a whole lot to say about it. Just they just tack on some crazy nonsense at the end. And honestly, make it seem more realistic because, you know, when I see Shake making food for Meatwad and sitting down to have a meal with him, I'm not buying it. But then when he pulls a knife on Meatwad, it's a little bit more believable to me. In the 2007 video on YouTube of these clips airing, this one was not included, so I don't know if that means either it never aired on Adult Swim, it was just put on the DVD, or if that person just didn't capture it whenever it did air, so I'm not really sure there. I don't have the bump that played beforehand, but that is the fake ending, Sandwich Jewels. Moving on, we have our next fake ending called Earth. This one was shown on Adult Swim, and the setup here is, last week we previewed the ending to the Aqua Teen movie. I assume they're referencing Sandwich based on this YouTube video, but I don't know for sure. Anyways, back to the bump here. Since then, environmentalists are boycotting the film. Something about we made the emulsion out of owl's blood. So here is our response ending. Here's hoping they chain themselves to all 800 theaters and refuse to leave. So then we'll jump into the Earth ending, and the visual is literally, it's just a picture of Earth, or like an Aqua Teen drawing of Earth, and it's kind of like just panning in, and then at the end it explodes. That's it.
Our resources are so very precious to us, and we're running out. So the next time you fill up your car, just don't. It's that simple.
So that's it. Shake just saying, next time you fill up your car, just don't. Easy enough. I mean, he's not completely wrong there. You know, if we just cut down a little bit, I think we'll be okay. Actually, that's not true. I think, isn't it just like corporations fucking everybody over? Granted, we buy from these corporations, but in a lot of instances, we don't really have a choice. But yeah, my understanding, especially working at like a retail store, is like, It is insane the amount of just waste and plastic and styrofoam that we go through. It's disgusting. But I guess at the same time, I don't know. We vote with our dollar, and who knows? We're probably all fucked regardless, though. But yes, that is their Earth PSA. As I record this, it is late October of 2022. There is a big hubbub of these people throwing food at paintings, and basically they're just trying to raise awareness of their anti-oil kind of groups that they're in, just like environmentalist stuff. And something conveniently that, you know, I heard about these two girls, I think in the UK, they threw some soup at a Van Gogh painting, and you hear people freaking out. Well, it turns out the Van Gogh painting was fine because it was protected, and the environmentalists, they knew ahead of time that it was protected. They specifically chose this painting because they knew that they weren't actually ruining it. They were just, you know, trying to bring attention to this cause. And I think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty badass because, hey, at some point, what good are these paintings if we don't get anywhere to put them? But all right, moving on here. Our next ending is called Zombie Shake. And the other two after this that we cover will be very similar. Of course, there is Zombie Frylock and Zombie Meatwad. But back to Zombie Shake, this one had some bumps before being shown on Adult Swim, and the bumps said this. Last week, we previewed the ending to the Aqua Teen movie. Frylock 03 said it was meh. Well, Frylock 03, we think your name is meh. You got a character name and a year. Probably the year you graduated from Meh Academy. Mehless ending. Now, so they're just kind of mocking somebody. If this person is real, who knows? But supposedly Frylock 03, I assume on the Adult Swim forum, complained at one of the fake endings shown, and now they're trying to impress him. So in terms of the visuals on this one, we have Meatwad and Frylock. They are in Dr. Weird's loft and they are shooting guns off. Frylock has some sort of assault rifle and then Meatwad has a pistol, and you really just see them. It's nighttime in the loft, but they're there and they're blasting away. And then, you know, they killed whoever they had to kill. We don't actually see anybody else, but it's just them. Then they're like, oh, where's Shake? And then we see there is like a door that was knocked down and we see Shake on the other side of the door. He looks normal. As he starts to walk, he gets hit by the moonlight. It's a really cool effect. I'm actually kind of blown away. As he gets hit by the moonlight, we see he's actually a zombie. So he looked normal walking into the moonlight, but then in the moonlight, he is a zombie. And this will be the same exact zombie asset from the Super Birthday Snake episode when Frylock kills everybody. It's the same Shake. So let's give this a listen. Hopefully, this doesn't make you go meh.
I think we got them all. Good job, Meatwad.
Oh, God. Thank you.
Anyone seen Shake?
Did someone say zombie?
That's it. And Shake, he just kind of like, it's a really lame pose that he does. It's just like his teeth on his bottom lip, really. It doesn't look menacing at all, but yeah, we have a hissing sound. It's funny because when they cut back to Frylock and Meatwad for their reaction shot of Zombie Shake, they don't have their guns anymore. You think that they would have those held pretty tight in this moment, but that's not the case. So, okay, let's jump over to the Zombie Meatwad skit now. And this one I also have the bumps for. So the bumps say, last week we previewed the ending to the Aqua Teen movie. Research tells us it scored a 130 on surprise, but only a 17 on unexpected. How can it be surprising, but still expected? We're just saying. And then it goes to show it. So obviously a joke, like what research doesn't make any sense. But this is the same setup, but instead of Zombie Shake, it is Zombie Meatwad. Again, we will see him kind of walk into the moonlight at the end of the clip. And he will be the same kind of zombie that we saw in Super Birthday Snake.
Whew! I think we got them all. Good job, Shake.
Where's Meatwad?
God. So funny, when Meatwad does his kind of hissing noise, he has, like, imagine a vampire fang, but it's just one. He's just got one, like, sharp tooth in his mouth, which is pretty cute. Kind of creepy, because he comes out singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, a little bit more menacing than the Shake one, I think. But that's the Meatwad one, very similar, just with Meatwad. I should mention, visually, Shake had a flamethrower. In the Shake zombie one, Meatwad has a pistol. But so that's those. Let's jump now into the Frylock one. And this one I cannot find the bump for. And I want to mention, I went back and I watched as many Adult Swim like commercials and bump videos as I could find on YouTube from March and April of 2007. And I could not find anything on these endings. I was hoping maybe I could find some more information, but nothing. So that's unfortunate. So no bump information for this one. But this one's actually a little bit different. So it's Shake and Frylock. Again, they're fighting off some imaginary horde because we don't actually see it in the clip. But yeah, they're done fighting, and Frylock is there with Shake. Meatwad's just not in this clip at all. And instead of, you know, coming from the into the moonlight and revealing to be a zombie, his skin just kind of bursts off, and he's a zombie Frylock. And I'm not sure what asset this is from, because in Super Birthday Snake, Frylock is not a zombie. So I don't know if this is from an episode we haven't covered yet, or if it was made just for this. I can't imagine that's the case. But yeah, not sure, but I'm sure we'll see it eventually on the main feed. As of this recording, we are about to finish up Season 2, just to give you some context if you're listening in the future. Let's jump in and listen to Zombie Frylock.
Whew! I think we got them all.
Good job, Frylock.
Except for one.
Zombie all along?
Shake is just standing there. He has his flamethrower in hand. He's just standing there shocked. But the zombie Frylock art style, really similar and well done to the Super Birthday Snake styles. I don't know, maybe if they had this asset for that episode and didn't use it. I just can't believe that they would make, you know, a zombie asset just for this random little fake ending that who knows where it was even shown. I haven't seen that it was shown anywhere but on the DVD. It's possible it was. But yeah, no idea what the story behind that is. Maybe that's just something to write down for a later date. But all right, now we are approaching our last fake ending. This one is a little bit more in depth, and I find it hard to believe it was not shown anywhere, because this is one of the better ones, I think. But who knows, you know, until I find out more, all I can say is it's on the DVD, and that I know for sure. So this one is called The Determinator. Obviously a play on the Terminator. We have Shake just sitting in the living room. The TV is not on, but he's sitting in the green chair looking at the TV that is off for whatever reason. Meatwad will kind of teleport into the scene, and he is wearing sunglasses, kind of similar to the Terminator. And then they'll talk for a little bit, and then Meatwad will pull out a Desert Eagle. This is not the normal pistol we saw him with in the movie. This is a very, I think it's a higher gauge kind of pistol, but I'm not a gun guy, so I don't know for sure. But yeah, Desert Eagle, I know that from Counter-Strike. He's going to pull that out and just blast Shake in the head, and Shake is just all gory and bloody. Potentially, this one was not shown anywhere because it's so violent. I don't know, maybe they would have given people the wrong impression of the movie. Maybe they wouldn't want people to think it's so violent, so maybe this one was not shown ahead of time. I don't know, but let's jump in and listen to it.
I'm the Determinator. I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
I said I want those things. I don't have them.
You've been determined.
You've been determined. Yes, that's it. I love it. So Dave Willis is trying to do a Meatwad doing a Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of voice. Very, very funny there. I really like that ending. But again, I wish I knew where this was shown, but the fact it's so violent, it's definitely the most violent of the clips, makes me think that maybe they wouldn't be allowed to show this one ahead of time. Something I should mention that I cut out of the clips for obvious reasons is at the end of every single clip, they would go into the credits and play the Carl's theme song by 9-Pound Hammer at the end. Just to give you some context of how these were shown at the time, at least the ones that did air outside of the DVD. So that is it for our fake endings. I love the idea that they were trying to trick people with a fake ending. And the endings themselves are just really fun to look into. You know, at first, like I said, I was like, I don't know if I want to talk about all of these, but they're all very short and they all really deserve to exist, I think. They're all doing something different, except for, of course, the three zombie ones. Those are pretty similar, but they're so short, I can't complain. And then the two sandwich ones, of course, there's just like a short version and a longer version. But even then, You know, they're like, what, 20 seconds or something? They're not that bad. So really fun to dive into those and try and piece together which ones actually aired, where they aired, all that kind of stuff. And I just love the idea that there was probably at least one person that believed this. And I'm not blaming them. Like, if I saw one of these online, I would probably expect it to maybe be the real ending. But I'm sure there's somebody that really did. So that's kind of funny. But okay, this then now leads us into my thoughts on this film as a whole, because they have these 10 fake endings and the actual film doesn't really have an ending. You know, I've already talked about this at the beginning of this episode and in part 8 of our coverage of the film. So my thoughts on this one, I've said it before, but even after deep diving through it, I still have just like a weird relationship with this film. And I was looking up how other people felt about it at the time and now, and I'm not the only one, you know, Dave Willis and other people who worked on it included. So the first time I saw this one was probably 2007, 2008. A girl I was dating at the time, her dad was into Aqua Teen, so he had the film on DVD, and we watched it. And I had maybe been outside of Aqua Teen for like a year or so at that point. I just kind of fell off from watching TV. You know, if it was on, I'd catch it, and I'd be happy to see it, but you know, I was just busy with other things at the time. So yeah, I was excited to watch, you know, the movie for Aqua Teen. And the beginning was hilarious. I loved the Mastodon part. And then the rest of it, I just was not that into. That was back in the day. And I had since watched it, you know, since then. And I liked it more. And I like it more having done a deep dive into it for so long now, for the past 8-9 months, really. But what struck me in looking this up online is in the past 3 years, I found a thread where there were people saying, like, yeah, that Mastodon part in the beginning is the best part. That's the only funny part, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I definitely would have agreed with that in 2007. I don't know that I agree with that now, but it's important to really look at the context of this film. This is the first, and for, you know, a while, it was the only Adult Swim film for a long time, I think until 2019's Mr. America, which was a Tim Heidecker film. And even that one wasn't so good. Tim and Eric did do a film in 2012 called Tim and Eric's Billion Dollar Movie, which I love. It's one of my favorite movies. It's so funny. And they did a great job kind of translating their 11-minute comedy into a feature-length film. But I don't think Adult Swim had anything to do with that at all. And they, you know, obviously they used their names and their own likenesses, but I mean, that's just their names. So it wasn't actually an Adult Swim film to my knowledge. So yeah, it was 12 years until 2019's Mr. America. And then now, of course, we have Plantasm coming out in just a few weeks as of this recording. But anyways, I digress. This was a big deal. And I mean, I think it really benefited from seeing it in a theater with other people. So if you were one of those people that got to see it in theaters, then I think that it probably left a good impression on you. In fact, I can't imagine going to a theater with other Aqua Teen fans there and walking out having thought anything negative about it, because that experience alone is just something I really regret missing out on, you know, just because I didn't even know they were coming out with a movie at the time, I don't think. But when you strip away that theater experience and the fact that this was the first and for a long time only Adult Swim film, which, by the way, this film did incredible. It made a lot of money. Now, of course, there was the whole Boston scandal. I don't know if they actually held that against Aqua Teen. That'd be just absolutely bullshit if they did. But the film itself did really well. It was very cheap to make, of course, and then it made back just so much more money than it cost to make. So you know, it wasn't a flop by any means, but critically, it was not received well, you know, as a film, as itself. And going into it, you know, obviously, as we went through this, we also compared it to the deleted film, which I think was an awesome opportunity to do. I'm thankful for you being on this Patreon, because I never would have done that, because we really got to see, you know, bits and pieces of how the film was made. And of course, there are like 2 deleted scenes episodes too, with more stuff. There's a bit more content that came from this film that we haven't even fully gotten into. But yeah, we kind of got to see how the pieces fell together, what changed, what stayed, the direction they took with it, because this was made over a period of time and it shows. There isn't a clear vision to this movie and it just kind of jumps from point to point. And, you know, it's an Aqua Teen movie. I'm not looking for something mind-blowing. I'm not looking for something that's like really tight. I'm looking for something that's funny. I'm looking for good jokes. And it seems like they stripped a lot of that out of this film. And I can say that because we saw, you know, deleted scenes and whatnot, even these fake endings that are funnier than what's actually in the movie. And then that brings us to a point of, were they trying to kind of make it subversive? Were they trying to kind of be the opposite of South Park? For example, South Park, they got their film and, you know, it was a musical, and there were some musical elements to this film, you know, with Shake singing like Nude Love and stuff, but it was a musical. It was, you know, bigger, longer, uncut. That was the South Park film. And this film, it's definitely longer, but they kind of like make it anticlimactic in a lot of ways. Stuff starts to happen and then it kind of either just stops happening or they quickly resolve the issue. Like the Insanoflex, the whole time they're searching for it, you know, finally they fight the Insanoflex and it's like really quickly they just dismantle it. Like they spend so much time chasing it, trying to stop it. And then when they do stop it, it's just because Shake played guitar, which is fine. I mean, that in itself is a pretty funny joke. But then the film pivots to the origin story of the Aqua Teens, which is the underlying thread. And that, you know, we get the bean burrito and then it just ends. That almost seemed like they did it just to have a Tina Fey cameo because it's like kind of unnecessary. And I wouldn't even say that, though. I don't mind it so much. Again, I just really like the ending with Meatwad making all that up in his head a lot more. I feel like they really should have ended that way. But, you know, the film started with the characters wanting to get ripped to get chicks, to, you know, to get girlfriends. And I liked that thread, but they kind of dropped it. And I guess it's like kind of the motivating factor initially, and that's how they get into the whole Insanoflex business. But going back to what I said, ultimately, I'm here for jokes, and I feel like there's just so many, like the pacing can be so slow because they didn't know what to do with all the time. What I love about Aqua Teen, like my favorite episodes, it's just nonstop. Like the pacing is just, it never lets up. It's just funny joke after funny joke. Big laugh after big laugh. And this film, honestly, I found the laughs far and few between. Does that make it a bad movie? No, it doesn't. But that's what I'm coming to Aqua Teen for. And if you're not going to give me big laughs, at least give me some sort of interesting storyline, something, you know, at least visually interesting. And the film doesn't do either of those things. I don't expect it to be visually interesting. It's Aqua Teen. And, you know, with the storyline, again, I'm not expecting that from Aqua Teen. And of course, they don't do it with the story here. Normally, they just have their jokes, they have their weirdness, and I don't think that they really were firing on all cylinders here. And I think that's just a byproduct of it having, you know, they worked on it for so long while also working on 12-ounce mouse, while also working on Squidbillies. I'm sure they were doing other stuff too. So I just can't imagine anything being good when you work on it for so long. It changes so much over that period of time. The people in charge of it are doing other things at the same time. Like, I just can't imagine a world where this is like a great film. I'm kind of rambling here, so let me read you just this fantastic Reddit post I found from 3 years ago on the Red Letter Media subreddit. And the author on this, he deleted, or she, they deleted their account. So I can't credit whoever this is, but I want to read you this post because it really sums things up in a beautiful way, and a way that, you know, it puts things into a context I didn't think of. And to be clear off the bat, I think that this poster is giving Matt and Dave more credit than maybe they deserve with how the film turned out, but I'll read you it nonetheless. So the title is, Aqua Teen Hunger Force : movie film for theaters is another Dadaist studio prank film in the vein of Freddy Got Fingered. So I was introduced to Red Letter Media through their Freddy Got Fingered review and was pleasantly surprised there were people out there who loved this movie as much as I did. Like stated in the review, the film is one giant meta/Dadaist prank on the studio and audience. And it got me thinking about it during my rewatch of one of my favorite comedies, Aqua Teen Hunger Force : movie film for theaters, that many of the things that could be said about Freddy Got Fingered can be applied to this film. For context, from interviews with the two showrunners and directors, they practically made a film that was a meta scam on the audience and was deliberately made as terribly as possible. They even joke about this in the hilarious opening, "Your money is now our money." They keep the film going for an ungodly amount of time and then wrap it up in the stupidest and most anticlimactic way possible. The film has a strange tendency to subvert expectations by playing with the cliches of usual film, even setting them up, and every time having no payoff. This is not just bad writing. Frylock's repeated frustration at this lack of payoff and progression indicates to the audience that the directors are just fucking with us. they are deliberately breaking down the standards of a Hollywood film. Much like Freddy Got Fingered is a parody of gross-out comedies of the 2000s, Aqua Teen Hunger Force: Movie Film for Theaters is a parody of all those cartoon theatrical adaptations that were happening around the same time. Those adaptations were deliberately bigger and better, higher stakes than ever seen before, and usually dealt with some major character information or development. Aqua Teen Hunger Force: Movie Film for Theaters brilliantly, in my opinion, shatters these notions by one hand being higher stakes and revealing the origins of the characters, then fucking with the audience by going nowhere and constantly alluding to the promise of something bigger, only to then deny the audience of any satisfaction. So that's basically the post. I apologize, you know, it's long, but this person, like, I'm not a big film buff. I don't really look at things from this perspective. And this person is totally right, because Frylock does acknowledge that, like, he gets frustrated in the film that, like, you know, nothing's happening or they're just hitting these dead ends. And also with the Mastodon intro, like, your money is now our money. We don't care. You can leave now. We don't give a shit. I really like that take on it. However, I just can't imagine Matt and Dave, you know, this is their big break. They're making a fucking feature-length film that is in theaters. I do not see them trying to make something bad. I just don't. I don't buy it. And, you know, there is definitely the argument for it here, but I just don't buy it. So when I take this, you know, everything that this person said into context here, this gives me an appreciation for the film, because I do like to look at it from this way. We kind of touched on this with Space Ghost in a previous episode on the main feed, because Space Ghost really was just becoming a middle finger to the audience. It was nothing like the original Space Ghost Coast to Coast, because the celebrity aspect wasn't really that involved at a certain point. It was just the characters fucking around. And that's really what they were doing there. And I'm the kind of person that, yeah, in theory, I can appreciate that. But if you're not bringing the jokes, or if you're not, like, doing something for the viewer, then in practice, I just can't really get behind it. I can like that, like, as a creator myself, I could think that's funny. And I can appreciate the attempt. But as a viewer, like, I don't really care. I'm not going to waste my time watching your statement, if you know what I mean. But again, I don't know that Matt and Dave were really trying to do this. And the way that they talk about it now, all these years later, it doesn't really seem like that's what they were trying to do. I think they did want to make a good movie. And I think just with all the time it took and with everything else going on and all the rewrites that they did, it just kind of fell apart. It lost the thread. And it because of that, in some points, the deleted film is better than the official film. Another thing for me is, let's say a band I love, they put out an album that just isn't that great. It's not bad, but it's not great. For example, I love the band Dance Gavin Dance, and their newest album, Jackpot Juicer. I listen to it. Every single song is good, but nothing on it is really great. And the entire time I'm listening to it, I'm like, oh, hey, I kind of want to go listen to this other Dance Gavin Dance album with actually great songs on it. That's how I feel with this film. I watch it and it's like, I kind of want to go watch, like, some of my favorite episodes. Like, I'd rather watch a bunch of those back to back than watch this film. So having said all of that, I'm sure I could ramble on forever, but having said all of that, I think I'm going to give this film 3 humping cybernetic ghosts out of 5. It's not a bad movie. And in fact, I know I'll be watching it many more times. And this is just my opinion in this moment. Hopefully over time, I'll grow to like it even more. But I think, look, it gets the job done. It's not a complete waste of time. Any Aqua Teen fan should watch it. I assume you have if you've listened to all of this. But I'm not going to be showing it to anybody who's not a huge Aqua Teen fan. And I'd rather just watch episodes, I guess. Having said that, there are some highlights here, some things I really like. Of course, that opening Mastodon song is brilliant. The Linoleum Knife song. I really like when Oglethorpe and Cybernetic Ghost are kissing. That is very funny. The whole kind of underlying theme of Shake being a musician to me is funny. Look, I mean, you listened to me watch this whole movie. There are parts when I'm laughing, okay? It's not a complete snooze fest. And luckily at this point, we are at a time when we can kind of look down on this film because we have Plantasm coming out. Now, I don't know, maybe you're listening in the future and you're screaming, God damn it, Ronnie, you don't know how good you had it because movie film was way better than Plantasm because Plantasm sucks. Maybe Plantasm will suck. I doubt it will, but maybe it will, but I assume it won't. And I hope it doesn't. And that way we can say, yeah, colon movie film is fine, but check out Plantasm. There's an actual story here. There's an actual purpose here. They learn their lesson. But again, this is just such a special thing. I mean, it's just incredible. The fact that it even happened is incredible, even if you've never seen it. Like, it has to get your respect for that. It was in theaters. I mean, Plantasm won't be in theaters, which is kind of BS considering, again, this film did well in theaters. It's not like it was a flop or anything like that. But yeah, again, I'm just rambling again. But there are definitely good parts of this movie. Let me know what you think about this film. If you go on Patreon, if you go to the post that is this podcast episode, you can comment. Let me know what you think about the film. What do you agree with? What do you disagree with? In the meantime, that's it for me. Thank you so much for joining me on this exploration into the film. This was so cool to do. I'm really glad I did it. And to be honest with you, I wanted to rewatch the film before talking about it here, but I'm already going to be rewatching it like in a week or so because Speed Beats, also known as Ian, our number one in the Hood G tier patron, he is going to be hosting a rewatch of this film in Japanese. He's going to be telling us like the differences in the localization and stuff, because I guess they changed some stuff in the storyline or what have you. So I'm really excited for that. So I was like, oh man, I don't want to rewatch the film just to watch it again for this. So I haven't rewatched it. Maybe if I rewatched it now, I'll update my score a little bit. Who knows? But yeah, of course, by no means do I hate this film. I don't. I think it's, you know, as good as it could be at the time. I think they really did try and do their best. Some parts worked, some parts didn't, and I'm excited to see what they learned from it for Plantasm. So thank you so much for joining me on this just journey diving into this film. It was very fun. I really, really appreciate the opportunity, and I appreciate you listening, because if you are listening, then you support the podcast, and you are just fantastic. I really, really, really do appreciate it. I've said it so many times, but it's the truth, is that if it wasn't for you guys, then this podcast, I'd still be doing it, but maybe there'd be one episode a month or something like that, as opposed to one a week. So thank you so much for supporting this show. And I'm excited to go back now and dive into some other stuff, maybe some other Adult Swim shows or what have you. But until then, thank you again for listening. Shout out to our number one in the Hood G tier patrons, Sean, Ian, Captain Buford, Brian, Robison, Carl, and Reverend Raven 46. You guys can colon movie my film for theaters any day of the week. Bye-bye.